Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound
what's
of
up,
the
what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And well. What do we have now? Well, we don't have a lot. We have Christmas week, and we have a most likely a very quiet trade. You could see some air pockets. You could see some, you know, exaggerated moves that should probably revert right back. We do have a market that at this point in time is still, I would say, pretty much overvalued. For where we are, I think we've obviously run the gauntlet way too fast here on all of the good news of Donald Trump and what he may or may not do. But you know, that's always a problem. You know, when you look at the overall picture, you know, markets do have a tendency to run in one direction or the other. And of course, you know, we're seeing that in the equity market. Believe it or not, we're seeing it in the hog market. We're seeing it in the cattle markets. And we're seeing it with the banks now. But in the meantime, with all the good stuff that you see there and the markets, you know, up near highs, what are we seeing? We're seeing Amazon's down about 10%, and we're seeing, you know, some of the others that are getting hammered pretty good. So it's really been just a mix. But of course, you know, we do continue to push higher. And, you know, I really thought we were going to hit 20 grand, but maybe that'll wait. I would say before the year's out, we will see a print of 20,000. And, you know, a print doesn't mean anything. And this is one of the things that I believe that everybody's got to kind of understand is the number itself means nothing. Okay. It's a party number that, you know, we're trying to get through something. You know, now if it was really something, you know, that was a real number, like a resistance number or a support number, then that would be important. But just the whole number of 20,000 is really meaningless. It might trigger, you know, some buying interest from the onset, but you could pretty much bet, and you know, anybody can bet me if they want. I'd be happy to take all the action you want, that we get a pretty good sell-off off of 20,000 when we do get there. Because there are, you know, one of the things you have to remember, there are going to be people that are going to take profits. You know, there are people that don't just sit there and wait and do try to work the markets. So, you know, we'll see, you know, where that brings us. And of course, we've got, you know, some, the OPEC deal last week kind of played out not very surprisingly. We got the initial pop. And if you happen to catch me last week on CNBC Asia, I said, you know, look for a pop and then just sell it. And of course, that was pretty much the plan until we got into, you know, late last week. And then we got a little bit of a pop. But basically still, I think an outright sale. I mean, you could look at 52, 53 in February oil and kind of just sell it with both hands, as we used to say on the trading floor. You look at gold and silver. I mean, they're going to get a bounce here at some point. You know, again, there may be some more room to go on the downside, but at some point here, there's going to be a dead cat bounce at worst case scenario. And this is one of the things that we always have to remember and recognize, that markets, you know, again, they don't go straight in one direction. And I have everybody who's, you know, all worried about missing the top of the market. You know, when did everybody become such a bear? You know, and of course, I understand it, because if you listen to me, I'm a little bit negative here as it is. But, you know, you're not going to miss the next move. That's, I think, the important thing to understand. Okay. Markets will do what markets are going to do. And there's going to be a sell-off. And the key or the trick to recognize when you can actually say the potential market top is in is not when it starts to sell off. It's going to be really the strength and how far the subsequent rallies come. Okay, remember, it's not the first sell-off. It's the rally back into resistance. It then depends on where resistance is going to show up. that will tell you more about the strength of the market. Okay, because what we've seen over the past, we've seen the first part of the pattern, which is the big sell-off, and then the second part, which is the rally into resistance. But yet we have not been able to fail, and we continue to make higher highs instead of lower highs. So what we're really looking for is a lower high that will then indicate that we will see more likely than not a breakdown. And again, a breakdown could be anything. I mean, it doesn't have to be. I'm not saying we're going to, you know, trash go all the way down to, you know, back to where we were, the lows. I mean, again, I believe it or not, I'm still looking for that same number I've been looking for, 1562. So now that's about, about a 20-25% break. And again, it will not happen all at once either. You know, again, if you always try to remember that markets will churn up and down, and the key to understanding is when they start to make, if you're looking for a down move, you're really looking to see lower highs and lower lows. If you're looking for an up move, you're looking for higher highs and higher lows. And obviously we've seen for the most part higher highs and higher lows, but now if we start to get that turn, that would be what we'd be looking for. But even before that, markets will get extended in one direction or the other, and they will get either a relief rally or a relief sell-off before they start to change. And this is one of the things that we all tend to make a mistake on, is we try too much to outguess what's next. And I think that becomes the bigger story is, you know, how do we avoid, you know, trying to get caught and trapped either selling bottoms or buying tops. And that's exactly what you do, is you need to wait for the patterns to develop. So if you're looking for the markets to continue higher, you would look to buy a dip on support at some number. And if you're looking for markets to go lower, okay, then you would look for a resistance to sell. But I don't think we're at that point. You know, if you're selling now, and I am bearish, but if you're selling now into this, you might be just, you know, trying to jump a little early. It's more important, in my opinion, to come back and sell the rebound rally, which you'll get. You're always going to get that. Again, remember, this is not, things haven't changed, and we continue to get rebound rallies all the time. Or we get, you know, those sells that come in every once in a while. And that's the pattern. Now, we're looking for, there's a lot of things suggesting that the pattern is starting to turn over. There's a lot of things that, you know, if you've watched the last few days, basically the markets have been up and volatility has been up. And that is typically not, that it's certainly not a bullish sign. And it's something that we have to look for as we continue to move forward into this model, is when is it the right time? Okay. And the right time will come when we start to see, again, a sell-off followed by a rally into resistance and continue to work that way. And that's always the key, okay? It's always the technical, because fundamentally, certainly there's no reason to be at these levels, but the technical say, hey, they can still be here. And that's what we have to wait for. We have to be patient enough to wait for the action to come our way. And I always warn that money management is the key to doing everything, because you got to be patient waiting for your opportunity. You've got to have a trading plan. Okay. And, you know, if you don't do those things, then really you're just shooting dice. And, you know, if you want to shoot dice, go to Vegas. There's no reason to shoot here, because again, the markets give you a much better clue, and you're not a 1.5% or bigger underdog here. You're a favorite here if you know what you're doing and you learn to understand it. In the meantime, tonight, I'm giving a webinar on trading plans, and you may not get this in time, but if you want to get the recording of that, please let me know. I'll be happy to send it to you. Just email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com. Also, go to my station, libertytalk.fm, the only station you need for all of your content, but at least get the Bubba Show there every day, and the download the Sporting Edge, because, of course, we love doing that, and I do it with Xander. So we're going to step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and also check out BubbaTrading.com. New hedging class and new futures classes starting next year. We'll see you right back here after the break. Yeah. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right
back. All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A. Welcome back
to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the only, the extremely talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. So, Jane King, tell me about global warming, will you, please?
Yeah, I know. Well, global warming is so bad. I'm searching out a sauna tonight, and I'm thinking of like just joining a gym just so I can hang out in this sauna. I mean, I went to a couple of holiday parties last night, and that wind is something else. I got to tell you, I know you're used to it in Chicago, but man, it's cold.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was in Vegas, and I was doing a seminar, and I had a couple of guys there that were from North Dakota, and they were showing me the temperatures in North Dakota were minus 25 below. So,
oh my God. Oh, it's crazy. I know. You wonder how people can live like that, but they do. I mean, you know what the Norwegians say? There's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. So you just layer and bundle up and go. So
bundle up. So we see, the world is fairly quiet. Of course, we've now got the new Obama talking about get it going after Putin now for this supposed hack. What's your take on all that?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, if there truly is some interference from some other country in our elections, it needs to be investigated. You know, what I hear the president say, though, is really kind of vague things. I don't hear any concrete evidence. Like, and I haven't heard that all the way through this. Like, I haven't heard anybody say for sure, well, this has got the fingerprints, and we know that because of A, B, and C. So, you know, I understand maybe there's some intelligence here. They don't want the public to know. But I just don't think you can go around and make accusations like that without offering some more concrete evidence. And so I guess until I see that, I mean, I'm just kind of, you know, I don't know what to think of it because I haven't got an opinion because it just seems political at the moment.
Doesn't it? And isn't it? When do we just move on to the task at hand instead of worrying about what happened in the past? I mean, you know, Mike Ditka, famous coach in Chicago, said the past is for cowards and losers.
Sure.
So when do we just move forward? Right. And I mean, obviously, the markets are extremely excited about what's going on right now. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. we see an extended amount of strength. People seem to be happier, most people anyways, except for the few protesters around. And of course, Whoopi Goldberg, who can't keep her mouth shut. But what's your take on all that stuff?
Well, I think I heard on CNBC, I think one of the best ways to describe what's going on, and that was instead of shared misery, we now have shared optimism. And I think I feel like really just all of the sudden, and it's amazing. I mean, to me, it's amazing how suddenly things shifted. It was 48 hours, basically. Where all of a sudden there was hope. There was hope that regulations were going to get out of the way so somebody could operate a farm or start a small business. There was hope that, you know, a biotech company might be able to get a drug through without so much red tape. And just so many industries are impacted by the loosening of regulation. I had lunch with some folks last Friday from Wall Street, and we do this, you know, a few times a year, and they were like, there's going to be this tax cut that these go through. That's going to be great for business, and people are going to be able to get hired, and there was just so much optimism about it. It just felt like a dark cloud had been hanging over us for, I mean, really since like 2001, that we just couldn't break out of, and it was just kind of meh for so long, and now it feels like there's finally some excitement.
I mean, what it really feels like to me is that, you know, for 8 years we've had, you know, the markets go up, you know, after they found the bottoms, but really most people couldn't really participate. And I think what we see now is now the smaller guy, the smaller business, the middle class guy, now he has hope, which is now, you know, fueling a generally good spirit through everywhere. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I totally think that's true. And what I'd love to see, I mean, we've got about 100 million Americans that are in the stock market in one form or another. I mean, I'd love to see another 100 million added to that. You know, probably, not, you know, we can't rush in and jump in and, you know, get all excited. But over time, you know, some dollar cost averaging, participate in your 401k at work. I mean, all of a sudden it seems like that stuff makes sense again. Whereas before it was like, well, what do I do with any extra money I have left over? And maybe I'll just go out and watch a movie and buy some beer. But now it feels like people actually have a reason to save and invest, and they're actually going to see a return. I'm excited. I'm excited about what's happening. I think this is going to be good for the economy. I'm excited for my own business. And I hope that they get some things done in Washington next year.
And then, everything looks to be a little bit more exciting. But of course, one thing we also know, after all the excitement and this big lift in the markets and the new highs and the Dow 20,000 and all these things that go on, we also know that, probably a lot of this has been maybe slightly overdone, and maybe a lot of people are kind of chasing in here at what, again, we don't call the end, we don't make predictions, but you and I both know from being around for a number of years that at some point there's going to be some sort of correction. But the corrections are not bad, and that's where I think we make a mistake. We think that those are always bad things, but those are actually good things because they do give other people a chance to now, find a place, a home in the market, and find things to do. And I think that what you look for is, a reason to believe that we can have some steady growth, even though the markets may not always perform, because obviously I think we've got certainly well ahead of where we should be right now in the markets. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's true. I mean, this whole thing is based on expectation. I mean, Donald Trump is not president yet. We don't have, the Republicans are totally in charge of Washington. The cabinet isn't installed, but boy, what a business-friendly cabinet. I mean, this is going to be, it's a total opposite of what we've seen. I mean, these are people who are out there creating jobs, running companies, starting businesses. I mean, President Obama had a lot of kind of academics in his cabinet, and these are people who've actually put their blood, sweat, and tears in. It's hard. It's very hard to do. So they get it. And I think that's going to be really important. This market has not, if you weren't in it on November 7th, you really haven't had an opportunity, much of one at least, to get in the market and participate in the rally. But I think there will be some pullbacks. We are a little bit ahead of ourselves. But I think some of these changes, if they do in fact take place, and I think they will. I mean, I think we've got a cabinet and a Congress and a president who isn't scared of much. And they're going to push these things through. And those are structural changes. That's not just, so-and-so beats earnings, the market goes up for one day, and then we all go back to the same old worry the next day. These are structural things that I think really could really last a generation. I mean, I think it's exciting.
No, I mean, it could be great. And again, of course, the biggest thing you said, and of course, your family is directly affected by a lot of this stuff, is a lot of the overregulations, which really put a hardship on a lot of farming and small business communities over the time, because again, the small community bank did not have the same ability to be able to lend out money, which is obviously most farmers have to borrow a lot of money every year to get started, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't really start a farm if you didn't grow up in one. I mean, the capital outlay is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then, there's this huge learning curve. I mean, farming isn't just, let's go out and plant some seeds and watch it grow. I mean, there's a lot of stuff involved in this science. It's very much, something that you have to kind of be born into to do, which is a shame because I think it's a wonderful occupation. But it's just, there's so many industries that are going to be touched, I think, by the changes from farming to biotech to, small businesses to infrastructure to banks. I mean, it's really, I think there's going to be a huge impact. And I hope that, a lot of people kind of learn and see what happens. And I hope that things don't get overdone. Things can get overdone. There might be, some issues environmentally or whatever. You're just going to have some common sense with this stuff. And that's been lacking.
Now, do you think the Fed did enough with a quarter point raise? Do you think they should have done more?
I think the Fed's kind of growing in irrelevancy. I mean, hardly anybody was talking about the Fed. We did a little bit, but it wasn't a lot. The markets pretty much just steamrolled them and raised interest rates anyway. They're not waiting on the Fed. So that happened. I mean, my guess is, especially if things come to fruition next year, like people expect we're going to see at least another two interest rate hikes next year.
And we hope so, but we also hope that Jane King has a wonderful week and all good things for you. Jane, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Todd.
Our friend Jane King, the Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, always bring good stuff. And really, her and I have the same objectives. We want to help educate the youth of America, and we are working hard to try to get there. If anybody knows anybody, please help us out. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. LibertyTalk.fm will get you a download of the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Hedge on the weekends. Make sure you go to BubbaTrain.com and check out what we're doing. Got a lot of great things happening. We're going to stop out of here for a break, and we will be right back after the break with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, as always, welcome aboard to my torture chamber of not much going on. But, of course, this time of year we don't expect a hell of a lot, do we?
No, it's a typical seasonal, you know, pattern that's playing out, just kind of a, you know, drift higher, kind of dead market.
And then, of course, we go into, you know, the next 2 weeks now are basically, I mean, this week could, the way the holidays fall this year, this week could be something, but I don't really expect a lot of action this week. Not that nothing will happen, but I don't expect a real lot. I think a lot of people are already kind of hitting the road, but it's kind of weird because I think a lot of the schools don't get out until this Friday, which is the 23rd, because of the way everything falls. And so we could get a little bit of action this week, but what are you seeing out there, man?
Well, I think we're always talking about, you know, stock indices and, you know, how close are we to a top. And I personally think that, you know, be prior to year end, we'll probably have hit that top. And then it will be, you know, the sell off that we get will probably come next year. I think we just drift, you know, a little bit. I don't think there's a whole lot more upside in a variety of indices. The Dow and S&P and NASDAQ may be exceptions to that, but Russell 2000, Euro Stoxx 50, some of these, I don't think they've really got, you know, a whole lot more to the upside. In fact, I'm saying between 1-2%. So that's what I'm looking for. Not really any volatility, though, not yet.
I'm calling for a top. I don't give a crap. No, you know what? We may go higher. Again, I would, if somebody said to me, for your life, what are you going to do from here? I'm going to get short, okay? And not because I'm negative, not because I'm a perma bear, just because the probability favors we're going to have a move to the downside at some time here soon. Now, again, you asked me, where would I be if it was a 10-year trade? I'd have to be long because I know the market typically goes up year over year, right? So, but in the meantime, you have to fight through. You know, sometimes they're extremely challenging because they're quiet. Not because the stuff we do doesn't work, but because when you lose, especially in the options world, when you lose volatility, even if you're right, you don't necessarily get follow through in with enough action. And that's kind of what's going on, which is why a lot of times the futures model or premium selling becomes a lot better model. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. I mean, it's tough because without volatility, it's like you say, you can get the direction right, but you may not, if it doesn't work, you know, timing wise, it's, you know, it's poses a challenge anyway. I think, you know, I don't think we should expect much more, you know, through the end of this year, but I do think that we will see the turning points, you know, still, as I was saying. So, you know, and just as far as, you know, short term, like you said, if you're at a 1 year trade on, maybe not. I don't know even if it would be 1 year for me, but I think for 6 months, I mean, if you're looking at where we are technically, we're, you know, the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, Russell 2000 by a long shot, they're all through their upper Bollinger bands. And in the case of the Russell 2000 and in the Dow, it's by a record amount.
Right. So, they're, all, know, that's just, they're all that's by a record really, amounts, aren't they?
I'm just saying it's a really stretched situation.
I couldn't agree with you more. And of course, now for a guy like you, okay, you're a pure chartist, you're a pure analyst. You don't, you know, obviously you don't let your opinion get involved. Will you start setting up trades for next year now? Are you, does the time of year or the action dictate when you'll put that trade on? Are you just putting the trade on when it shows and you'll just wait it out or do whatever? What does a guy like you do?
Well, I put the trade on whenever the target high or the target low is hit, and then you just wait it out. I don't pay attention to the time, except, you know, if we're working with options, then you kind of have, then, you know, if you, let's say you've hit the high, I mean, May 2015 was a good example where we hit the high, and then we just kind of, you know, went sideways for a couple months, and options would have decayed and died. Volatility just continued to drop until we got to August, and then you got that, you know, drop off a cliff. So it's one of those things where I would put the underlying position on, but options I would probably wait.
And, you know, so Matt, we've got a lot of things going on, and I think I want to ask your comments on something on Thursday. Oil had been, you know, after the big blow off last Sunday night, you know, we had the deal was done. And of course, oil opened up $4. And basically from that point on, it basically ticked lower. And then it got in under 50 again on Thursday morning. And of course, it got to a point, and then all of a sudden it was like it said, okay, this is enough for this particular move down, and it reversed. I mean, it didn't go up huge, but it did go from like down $1 to up on the day, and then was, you know, moderately higher or flat on Friday. What's your take on oil here?
Well, you know, we're bearish now. We actually at the high on was it Wednesday or Thursday at the high? We added short position. We actually shorted, you know, the underlying position. We didn't work with options. We just shorted oil directly. I got a target up at 56. I think it's 56.90 at this point because it's declining. It declines by 10 cents every day. We got close enough to that that we went ahead and just shorted. So we're bearish. And what's interesting is looking at the COT report that came out this past Friday, it's almost record bearish. It's the second largest short position the commercials have ever put on. It's almost tied with the size of their shorts that they had back in June, July of 2014 at the absolute highs. So, they're betting heavily against it. So I think it's that, you know, they're the smart money. We're doing the same thing. And it coincides with, you know, price tops for us.
Well, I mean, not to get into fundamental reasons, because, you know, neither one of us are really fundamental traders. But first of all, we both know that OPEC is not going to honor the agreement. That's the biggest bunch of crap ever, number one. Number two, there's plenty of oil in the world that they're going to be pumping. And, of course, already our rig counts are much higher here. So they're going to continue to pump it. And we're not directly affected by what happens with OPEC because we're no longer dependent on Middle East oil. So other than, not only do I think the charts are stretched, and if I look at it, I think we're like right at a double top here or just right there. I'm short oil and would continue to sell it. I mean, but I don't see any reason fundamentally either to buy, even though I think the initial pop was on the jokers trying to buy fundamentally. What do you think?
Yeah, on a fundamental level, I'm just as skeptical as you are. OPEC, they're going to cheat. They always do. They make these announcements to pop the price higher temporarily, and it's worked, obviously. But some of it I wonder too. You know, Saudi Aramco's got to, you know, do their IPO. They have to get the price of oil higher to, you know, get a reasonable. You know, I don't know what the market cap of that thing is going to be, but it's going to be over $1 trillion, something outrageous. And, you know, in order to do it, they need higher oil prices. And that's sort of my, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that's maybe why Saudi Arabia is so, you know, keyed up to get everybody else on board.
No, and then Matt, we saw the dollar fly through, you know, what I thought was a top 102. And of course, I think my opinion and your views is that the everybody was building into the Fed. They thought they'd built it enough. And of course, people shorted into that announcement. And of course, I think they caught a lot of people short, which forced them to jump up and pay up for it. What's your look at on the dollar right now?
Well, we actually saw that it was, you know, the days leading up to the Fed decision, there was a really clear short term pattern in the dollar that projected higher. So we closed out our dollar and euro positions, the bulk of them, about 80% of them, and then we put them back on after the announcement. We probably should have waited a little bit longer because continued through into Thursday. But I'm still bearish of the dollar. You know, what was it, a year ago now, we were supposed to get four. We were told we were going to get four rate hikes, and we got one, you know, just a few days ago.
Right.
And now we're supposed to get three this coming year. So, I'm a little skeptical on that front as well. I don't think that's probably going to come through. But still short. We reshorted the dollar, we're long the euro. But here's where I would change my tune. If the euro were to fall below its Thursday's low, if we were to go below, say, I think that's about 103.6, then forget it. At that point, we'll close the trade below 103.6 in the euro. I really don't have support until quite a bit lower into the 90s. So that's where we'd give up on a trade. But right now, it still looks okay to me.
So would you give up on the whole dollar side of the trade as well because the euro is the biggest component of the dollar index, or would you use some other currency to buy against the dollar?
Well, I'd probably have. Well, we're long the pound, which we like. We like that position, and so we'd probably, you know, build our position there. But as far as the situation with the euro, if we drop below, say, you know, just roughly 103. We drop below there, then I don't see major support until, say, 97. So that's, you know, it's a 6% drop. That would push the dollar up, you know, maybe.
Right. That's because sorry to cut you shorter. We'll get back to this. This is Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, our ace analyst on here on the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download their show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We'll be back right after the break with more from Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We're coming right back. Back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And, of course, he is our ace CMT and market analyst and has always been pretty much spot on, especially picking the big tops in the markets and some of the big bottoms. So, Matt, we've got a lot of crap going on, and we know we both feel the markets are at least near, if not at, and we both look for the drift. But you did mention before we went to break that you thought the euro could, if it breaks below, what would be your number, 103, then you'd be out?
Yeah, 103 at that point. I see a lot of empty space until we get to the, you know, at least say high 90s. 97 is what I'm looking at. Is roughly the first area I would think you'd get support. I could go down to 95. So that's why I would be at that point. I would be hesitant to be short the dollar because, you know, the euro makes up 60% of the dollar index, as you know. So that would mean you'd get significant more upside in the dollar.
Well, yeah, and of course, I don't think that I think that the euro is going to zero. I mean, you know, I think the euro is eventually going out myself. I mean, I really thought that it was going to go back to about 110, 111 before, and that would be about the end. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out. And, of course, you know, we look at the grain space, we see that soybeans continue. They just keep finding a new range. They don't go far, but they keep finding a new range a little bit higher. Corn, you know, was a little bit lower, but is again up near in the middle of that range. And of course, wheat continue to struggle along here. What's your take of the grain space here?
Well, I'll probably just sound like a broken record, but I do, you know, I think wheat's okay. I think wheat's a good buy still. Corn, soybeans, I'm still bearish. But you know, these are longer term setups for me. I think corn and soybeans, for whatever reason, need to make new lows, and will eventually do so. So we don't have anything on right now, but if I did, I'd be long wheat and short corn and soybeans. I don't see, you know, in the COTs, the commercials are relatively short corn, soybeans, for example. I don't see a reason to get in there right now, at least from a long side.
No, and I can see that. And of course, we both thought cattle was, you know, we both like cattle longer term, but we thought there might be a little bit of selling. And of course, the cattle and the hogs exploded, especially on Friday. They really looked like they kind of had a blow-off ending there, but obviously, you know, we won't know until this week plays out a little bit. But what did you think of the action last week, and what's your take there?
Well, we've been long the livestock ETF cow, and that's half hogs, half cattle. I want to talk about this today. The hog chart, the spot hog chart, looks like it has at least 4% more to the upside, and then we're looking at another resistance line. So I would think this coming week we have another 4% upside in hogs, and then I'd start getting, you know, it's already overbought. We're on a daily indicators, we're above 70 in the RSI. In fact, we're almost at 80. So that's, you know, hogs are well overbought. This is not a place to be getting in long. But if one was already long, I would think, say, another 4% upside minimum. Could go a little bit further than that, but we're getting close to a turning point on the upside.
And what about the cattle?
Cattle, I think cattle have about the same setup. I think they've got a little bit more to the upside. I'm looking at the chart right now. Actually, we're at 115. In the February, and I think it can get up to about about 117. There's going to be a target there.
All right, and then
it may not. It's just a minimum. That's sort of a minimum spot.
No, I understand. Yeah. Look, if we could actually pinpoint them exactly, we would just go sit on the beach and and wait for them to come in when they're supposed to. But of course, it is the area that we look for, and of course, sometimes they. Unfortunately, we don't always have to hit the exact number right. We have to sit there and sometimes wait and let them trade a little bit because, again, especially commodities, they tend to move a little bit further in either direction. And, of course, you know, you've been calling for gold to be, you know, well below or even, I don't know how much farther well below, but when we were up at 1,300 and 1,250, you kept saying, no, it's got a lot more room to go on the downside. And now we're about 1,130. Is there still room to go on the downside here?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit more room to the downside in the short term, but then I think we're going to get a pretty good bounce out of it. I think both gold and silver are near, you know, short-term lows. I think we are going to get some pretty good bounces here. So we just got long silver, probably a little bit early, but I've been talking about the high 15s for a while, and we got there last week, and but then I think, you know, we're going to get another shot to the upside, and then I think it'll be a short selling opportunity. But right now, I would much prefer to be long gold and silver than short.
Right, because you think there's still, I mean, typically markets don't go straight up or straight down. Of course, gold's been giving it the good old college try to go straight down for a while here, and of course with all the pressure and everything else. So what if you were looking at one thing? Are you still number one emerging markets as a short?
Well, emerging markets have already peaked, and that's nice. So we've already made some profits there, and I think it will continue to the downside. But I think if my number one short right now would be the Russell 2000 and or the Euro Stoxx 50. Euro Stoxx 50 has been rallying pretty hard, and it's getting up towards this what I consider just a very, very strong resistance line. In the 33.25 area, 33-30 area. So, you know, and that's only about another 1 to 2% higher. And if it gets there, forget it. It's not going through. It's gonna reverse back to the downside.
All right. Well, that makes sense. So our overall tone, I would assume, is bearish. And of course, you know, we both expect, I think, some quiet trade here the way the holidays fall out. And that. So what is, if you were going to look in the currency space, what would be your number one play? Short the dollar still until the euro fails, or?
Yeah, I think that would be the main play, either long euro or short dollar or both. And then, you know, a close second would be the pound. The pound, you know, really, and you'll have less risk with the pound too. You're just a little higher risk with the dollar and the euro right now, I think. But the pound is still looks good, still looks bullish. And the commercials are definitely long. They've been, you know, they got in way early on the pound, and, you know, they're going to want to make their money back. So those would be my picks.
And what's your high target on the pound? Where do you think it goes to?
Well, supposedly purchasing power parity is at 144, and that's more of a fundamental argument. But I think that's about right also for technicals. I think up near in the mid-140s would be where we would, you know, really start to lighten up and take our positions off.
And of course, last but not least, the volatility futures. What's the what are the big commercials doing there? I mean, you would think, I didn't look yet, but I would think that they're probably buying a lot. I mean, obviously we're back down to those way down low bottoms again. What are they doing down there?
Yeah, no, this past week they did pretty much nothing. But the week before, they added substantially, I think it was 10,000 or 15,000 contracts. So now they're up to about 85,000 contracts long, which is, you know, they've been over 100,000. You know, we've talked about it, that being, you know, the high end, the extreme that we see. So we really haven't seen anything over 120. So at 85, they're, you know, they have a big position and they're you know, they're still looking for volatility. I don't think that they're anticipating it's going to happen still here in December. If you look at the options, it looks like they're waiting for January, February.
Which makes sense. Again, I mean, the only way I think we have a big move before year's end is just on a thin day, a big order comes in or something. But other than that, I don't see much. Again, it figures to be fairly quiet. Now, will you work and chart every day up through the end of the year?
I'm sorry?
Will you work and chart every day up through the end of the year?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, again, a lot of people take off, so I'm just, you know, I'm curious as what an analyst does from your side of the fence. So you'll sit there and you'll be grinding it out every day until the year's over, and continue to just do your normal charting, correct?
Yeah. And the reason is, I think that we're, you know, who knows? You never know. You could get an exogenous event. It's possible. But I want to, you know, I'm looking for turning points to happen actually, you know, here in December. So, you know, I want to catch those. And then, you know, even though I know that the
And this is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. As always, Matt, thanks so much for being on the show. I appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Todd. It's always good to be here.
And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, libertytalk.fm. Download the show every day. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Let this old world just spin around.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.